Good morning. For those of you who don't recognize me, I'm Kelly Thorpe, USDA ARS scientist at Maricopa, Arizona. And this morning I'd like to talk about some of my preliminary work with the Cotton 2K simulation model for conditions at our research station. So most of you are probably familiar with these, what I call cropping system simulation models that are essentially computer codes that aim to try to simulate over time all the different processes that are occurring in a cropping system. And so they have wide applicability to a variety of different problems: irrigation management, fertilizer management, crop improvement, climate change, and so forth. So Cotton 2K is a cotton-specific cropping system simulation model that has descended from Gossam and Calgos, Gossam being the cotton model that was popular in the 1980s and used widely across the cotton belt, and Calgos being a descendant of Gossam that was had modifications specifically for improving its simulations in the western part of the country, particularly California. In terms of relative to other types of models of this nature, Cotton 2K is very comprehensive. Very comprehensive simulation model of cotton physiology, getting down to the detail of positions of bolls on fruiting branches and so forth, calculation of nodes, and it's just very comprehensive simulation of cotton physiology. It also has a very detailed soil, water, and nutrient balance, simulating both vertical and horizontal redistribution of water and nutrients in the soil down the profile and across a row. The objective here was to evaluate Cotton 2K for our environment in central Arizona, and as a start, I've used data from the FACE studies, which was conducted at our center in the early 90s. So FACE stands for Free Air Carbon Dioxide Enrichment. These were the first studies of this type conducted at our location, where the main treatment was CO2 concentration in the canopy. They elevated canopy CO2 to 550 parts per million for 14 hours per day using control equipment that they had in the field at that time. And during the studies, the ambient CO2 in the atmosphere was 370 parts per million. There were also wet and dry irrigation treatments. So we had a well-watered and water-limited treatment, four total treatments for the study. The experiment was conducted in 1990-91. Part of the reason why I chose this experiment to begin with is because of the very rich measurements that were collected along with the study. We had weekly counts of nodes, fruiting sites, squares, bowls, open bowls, abscissions, weekly measurements of leaf area index, canopy height, dry weights of different component plant parts and things. So very robust data set in terms of cotton physiology, and one that until recently, when I've started to collect this type of data again, there haven't been studies at our site that have gone in this depth of detail in terms of its physiological measurements. In terms of water use, we also had estimates of ET from a neutron probe water balance method. So we have good data from these studies comparing both water use and crop growth. Cotton 2K had the first problem was where to jump in. I hadn't had much experience with this model before, and it has a rich history, so where do I get on board? Currently, you can download a version of Cotton 2K, version 6.1, from the website. This is a version of the model circa 2010, and it's actually, the entire model has been reprogrammed in C++ over the past decade. For this particular version of the model, the code I find is very tightly linked with the user interface programming. So the different buttons and things that are part of the GUI and how you use the model, the science part of the code is tied into that. And I don't particularly like that style of design very much, but another problem with this version has been that some bugs and sort of in less than intuitive, say, ways of working with the GUI program has left my students somewhat frustrated. So I went in search of older versions of the model. And one version I got from Dr. Lascano at Lubbock, Texas. This version was circa 2000, and it preceded the switch of the model code from C++. So it's in the original Fortran. This particular version of the model has the exact same input parameters of the as the newer version, but it does lack some of the newer features that are in the C++ version. For example, the ability to read hourly weather data. And I also obtained a version of CalGOS from Ed Barnes. This was circa 1995, and it is also in Fortran. This particular model had very different input parameter scheme, and so I favored the middle approach there, and I'm currently using the Fortran version of the model from around year 2000. I've made a lot of my own edits to the code, including adding code that would permit this version of the model to read hourly weather data. I've made edits to the evapotranspiration routines because I've found that it was under simulating ET compared to some of our data. So I've updated the ET routines to follow the current standards that are put out by the American Society of Civil Engineers for reference evapotranspiration and using FAO 56 methods for calculation of potential ET. And finally, I've made edits to correct some floating point errors and things, just clean up kind of things that I've run into as I've tried to use this model. Anytime you start to use a new model, I recommend these types of global sensitivity analyses, or GSA. These are techniques that help you as a modeler understand how the uncertainty in model output can be apportioned to different input parameters. So it's a useful tool for helping you understand how the model sensitivity works in terms of which outputs are influenced by which inputs of the model. There are a variety of different techniques to use, and I've selected to start here the method of Morris. It is one of several techniques that are part of the SA Lib module for the Python programming language. To do this global sensitivity analysis, I focused first on the 1991 year. I think the data are better that year and more reliable. And I started first with only the wet and dry treatments, so I'm testing water-limited and well-water conditions without phase. Included in the GSA are a test of 55 different model input parameters. That includes 51 different variety parameters that control how the crop simulation happens, crop growth simulation happens. And a few soil parameters. For instance, the initial concentration of ammonium in the soil, that was sort of one I deemed that was sensitive early on. And soil matrix potential at field capacity and for free drainage, and a conductivity parameter. The outputs that were tested as part of this global sensitivity were numbers of fruiting sites, number of squares, green bowls, open bowls, and abscissions. Weights of leaves, stems, green bowls, and open bowls, leaf area index, canopy height, fiber yield, and NET. And the GSA global sensitivity analysis included what ended up being 1.5 million simulations that were conducted on a Linux desktop machine over a period of 4 or 6 weeks. This is the kind of result that you get from method of Morris global sensitivity analysis. So essentially for a given output of the model here, number of green bowls, you get two values for each of the input parameters that were tested. A mu star value, which is essentially a higher value, means that parameter is more sensitive. And a sigma value, meaning a higher sigma value, means that that parameter has more interaction with other parameters to determine the sensitivity of that particular output. So here's a couple examples for number of green bowls, for leaf area index, the plots. Essentially, each point represents one particular input parameter of the 55 that were tested. So So what this is saying is that variety parameter 35, 43, and 11 are sensitive in terms of the simulation number of green bowls, and 35, 4, 27, and 31 are sensitive in terms of the simulation of leaf area index. And you could do the same thing for all of the outputs that were tested. And this basically lists all the different outputs of the model and which input parameters were most highly sensitive in terms of that simulation. Some common themes were these five variety parameters, including variety parameter 4, which was related to the potential leaf growth for the pre-fruiting nodes. So vegetative branch leaf potential growth was important in terms of sensitivity of many outputs. Variety parameter 27, it's related to the main stem development rate as affected by carbon stress, so how quickly are nodes added when the plant is under stress. And similarly, variety parameter 28 is the rate of fruiting site production as affected by carbon stress. Variety parameter 31 is the physiological days between pre-fruiting nodes, so how much physiological time passes between addition of a new node. And variety parameter 35 is related to the physiological days between successive fruiting branches. So we have a couple parameters here that would make sense, that they're really controlling the development of the plant in terms of its putting out fruiting branches and developing vegetative branches, and also related to leaf potential growth. So if doing these global sensitivity analyses gives you a lot of results, because you have to iterate the model simulations many times, and so you could think about pulling from that sort of an optimum set of parameters that you would say would be, well this fits my data the best, say. Although that's very difficult, because a certain parameter set might fit a certain output better than, say it this way, a certain parameter set might fit this output better, and a completely different parameter set might fit this other output better. So how do you choose is kind of the problem. The way that I initially tried to do this was to rank each parameter combination of the 1.5 million evaluations according to the root mean squared error between the measured data and the simulated data for each output. Then over the different outputs of the model, I summed the ranks, summed each of those ranks, and I selected the parameter combination that minimized that rank sum. So that's how I went about just selecting the optimal parameter set at this point in time. And this was the sort of result that you got from that particular parameter combination. We have on top number of green bowls for 1991, well watered, water limited. Same for number of open bowls, well watered, water limited. Here's a simulation of number of abscissions. Simulation of canopy height, a little bit under simulated for well watered. Simulation of leaf weight, a little bit over simulated both for leaf weight and stem weight for the water limited case. Green bowl weight simulation. Open bowl weight. This would be total above ground canopy weight biomass. A little bit over-simulated for the water-limited leaf area index. And finally, yield and ET. This is fiber yield for the two cases. We were underestimating yield a little bit. I want to talk more about the ET, though. Measurements here. This was the original method of ET that was in the model. And you can see we're underestimating ET by about 100 millimeters for the well-watered case. And that's what led me to, and it's the same for the other years that I've tested as well. So that's what led me to updating the ET routines in the model and to make them follow better the standards that have been put in place. And so the new method matches ET closer to measured a lot better. So in summary, this is just a description of a preliminary set of simulations with cotton 2K for Arizona face data. I mentioned the need to improve ET algorithms in the model. Global sensitivity analysis, really useful technique for helping a modeler make sense of the input parameters and how those inputs affect simulation outputs by the model. In terms of the calibration effort, looks pretty good at this point in time, but I'm going to continue working on these simulations and evaluating this model for this data set and others in the future. Thank you.
Maybe there's time for one quick question.
Yeah, of course. That has to do with face. They harvested the face data roughly a month earlier than normal. So the yield data were collected in, say, early September. So the plants had not yet fully, at least the well water plants were still growing at the time that they collected those yield data. The water limited would, of course, matured earlier and had more opportunity to yield. My understanding is the reason they did that was to conserve on CO2 expense. So they got yield data kind of early. Yeah.
So tell me, if you go back and take a model and try to tune it up for, let's say, Arizona. So the fact that it doesn't work well in Arizona as it was given you by Moscano suggests that the model that Moscano used had some deficiencies. Now you can go in and correct those and tweak those and make it work well in Arizona, so then we have cotton 2K Arizona 4, right? But now we still have this whole legacy of cotton 2Ks running around that have those fundamental errors that you sort of found. Do you go back when you finish tweaking a model and try to feed that information back into the legacy model to improve it as well? Or does this kind of become a dead end and result in proliferation of simulation?
Okay, yeah. Try to stay out of trouble. I don't want to say that the model that was given to me was wrong or anything. Other researchers have got it to work at their site. I just found that the ET part of the model could be improved, could be updated. My personal feeling is that this is how simulation modeling works. They're never perfect. They're always there's always improvements that can be made, and so the community should come together and try to keep these improvements happening and keep distributing the improvements so that other researchers can benefit from them. In terms of the development of Cotton 2K, I'm a little unsure at this time, what the future is for that particular model, but I'm anxious to talk with Dr. Lascano and others about the future and see if maybe some of these changes could be adopted.
Okay, well, thank you, yeah, Dr. And I invite the next